Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's HAYES. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Hour 2, Mail It In Friday on Overdrive, brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment Made to Chill. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill is off doing panel work, so it's Hayes and Noodles. Jamie Noodles McLennan, our boy MJ, will join us here in a moment. Mike Johnson on a double shot for the Leafs this weekend at home to San Jose tonight, at Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Get his take on what's going on in Montreal. He's very familiar with that team. Off to a good start. Edmonton off to a good start. Vancouver with a big win in Chicago last night.
Calgary, Detroit, like they're kind of the teams that needed to get off the schneid last night, got off of it except for Montreal. Everyone else, like Calgary,
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, same thing, 5-1 win. There was three Canadian teams anyways looking for some responses. Actually, three of them got it done, but Montreal didn't. Watching that Winnipeg game, they were in complete control. They looked like they were, and they've got some stuff
even
going on
there too. With COVID lurking and everything that's going on there, right?
Terrible, like, man.
It's still here. Tomorrow night, Tristan Jarry, Jeff Carter likely won't be playing because of COVID protocols, and the Leafs are going to face them. And there's been a few different examples around the league, and it's still going to be a part of the program this season. I don't think we're going to see whole teams get wiped out, knock on wood. We saw that in Buffalo. We saw it in Vancouver. You're talking
Dallas.
17, 18 guys, Dallas, and they couldn't play for 3 weeks. I think the vaccines will help with that. I don't think we'll get to that point. But you're going to have big players still leaving at big times, or at any time during the season due to COVID. And everything I have read from the players, which is similar to the majority of the guys last year, there were some that really had a tough bout with it for sure.
Yeah,
but a majority of them are asymptomatic, but they've got it. They have to sit out. They have to test negative twice over the course of 24 hours before they can get back in the lineup, and those are the rules.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
It's hard because that just throws a wrinkle into, you're looking for your team to have a big win, weekend. Case in point, Pittsburgh. Your starting goaltender not available. Like, that's the type of stuff. I guess you call it your number one center and Jeff Carter.
He is right now by default.
Nice start there. And all of a sudden they're just not available and you're in scramble mode. You got to treat it like it's an injury technically because they're just not available to you. And it's tough. It tests your depth. It tests the resolve of your group. It's a challenge, and every team's going to get hit with it at some point. You hope not, but depending on how things are, we are seeing the travel, and it's not people's faults. Like, it's not a scenario where I think guys are just running ruckshaw.
No, I don't think it's being reckless. I think pro athletes have been really committed, and you've lived the lifestyle. You can go out from time to time, but more often than not, you're practicing, you're traveling, you're playing. You don't have the ability to just run amok. And the world isn't quite back yet. Like, it is different in the States. But up here in Canada, we're out of it. We're moving in a better direction. But it's not normal life yet.
No,
You're not living the same way you did before COVID. I think that applies throughout the country. Even in Alberta, where the restrictions are a little bit lessened and different, I don't get the impression like Calgary is rocking like it was or Edmonton is rocking like it was.
No.
Hopefully we get there sooner rather than later. But, Edmonton's undefeated, so far this season, and McDavid's putting on a clinic night in, night out, which is not even remotely surprising, right? I said it about LeBron a couple of nights ago. You just expect it. You know what he's going to bring.
It was a scenario. Arizona, we know what they're doing. We know what
they're
trying to come. And I'm looking at it, and I'm texting with somebody, last night from Arizona. I'm like, I try to know most of the players in the league. You try to dig around on stuff. I'm like, I got their goaltender last night. And now I'm all of a sudden into HockeyDB and Google and stuff because he's farther down in the depth chart. And I'm like, that's the guy who's got to stop Dreisaitl and McDavid tonight.
Good luck.
And, you know, good luck. And
honestly, it's like Alex Bishop. He might as well be a University of Toronto player.
Well, they're
trying to stop those two guys.
And the Oilers' power play is lethal right now. That's the difference right now on teams having success and not. 5-on-5, you can grind it out, but you start giving time and space and to those types of players. And
yeah,
not
you're
just
in big
them,
trouble.
You're in big trouble.
You're in big trouble. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. You're a Coyotes alumni. Are you disappointed or what? What's going on here, Johnny?
I am. Are you asking if I'm proudly wearing my alumni jersey around town?
Yes, I'm asking you that.
You know what? I am not disappointed because I'd rather our organization be clear, concise, and take this very painful path of stripping it down than kind of muddle around the middle. Like, Arizona was trying to be good, but they were never really a threat to win, right? Like, they were made a couple playoffs, they were around the playoff line, but they never had a chance to win. And so, you know, I don't want to finish 10th or 7th and lose the first round or miss and then pick 13th overall. If I'm going to miss the playoffs, like, strip it down, build from scratch, get the good players through the draft. They're hoping they get, what, Shane Wright this year, Connor Bedard next year. And then they have so many picks, some of them hit, and you grow together and try it from scratch. So, no, I'm actually, as a proud alum, I'm actually not that offended because
okay.
It makes more sense to do this. And when you think about it, Hayes, the timeline, which will sync up likely with a new building about 3 years from now, that's when they should start becoming good again or, like, start climbing to be good again. And so maybe that's the timeline they're shooting for, and it makes more sense than trying to kind of stick in the middle.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think Bill Armstrong at least has a clear, you know, plan, whether he can execute it or not, because we've heard, you know, the rebuilds, especially Arizona. That's the thing that I think people have a tough time believing is because we've kind of heard it out of there. We've heard, you know, several years, not just, you know, the last little bit with Bill Armstrong taking over. You've always heard, well, Arizona's looking to turn, and they've got some good young players there. It's just not enough. But
I
like that they're going scorched earth. And
yeah,
I like
them do
they're terrible,
they're
though.
They're terrible.
They're really bad. I mean, I did their game against Buffalo, and they got a point in overtime because your Kometo Brno alum, which is a team in the Czech Republic, Karel Vemelka, was in net, and he played really well. I'd never heard of him before the game, but that's I call the games. That's why I know who he is. But you know, they don't. They just don't have. I mean, you could say Clayton Keller is a talented player. Certainly Jeff Chikrin. Chikrin's a good player. But like beyond that, they don't have a lot of foundational pieces going forward. So that's what they're trying to accumulate, and it's going to take a little pain. Now, the only thing I'll say though, and I think every person who GMs a team would tell you this: the stripping it down part. That's the easy part. Like I can trade away my good players and get picks. It's the building back up that gets way harder. So they've kind of started the easy part. Now can they execute the hard part?
Well, let's move from one alumni to the next, and we'll get to your original alumni, the Leafs, here momentarily, who played tonight.
Okay.
But you know where we're going. We're shuffling down the 401. We're going eastbound. We're going to get into Quebec because that Habs team is horrendous right now. Like they lose 4-1 last night. They were being outshot. They had 5 shots in the first period last night, and the crowd was getting owly. And they're 0-5. They have no points through 5 games. Bergevin did his, you know, stop and chat with the media yesterday, and it's ugly, man. It is really ugly. They're going to be talking about Shane Wright in the next couple of weeks. And honestly, whatever happens with Price, we'll see. Weber's not coming back. Dano's moved down the road. He's in L.A. I don't. They're not going to be a bottom 3 team in the league, but could they be a bottom 6 or 7? Like, is that what we're talking about here? That they could be thinking tank themselves by the trade deadline?
Well, I don't know if they'll think tank because you look at their contractual obligations. They don't have a ton of pending UFAs. They have mostly term on their guys, so tanking becomes harder if you don't have guys expiring. But yes, absolutely, they could be bottom 6 or 7 because, you know, generally there's 1 or 2 outliers that are quite poor, but like. The bottom six, you know, the sixth worst team is only 10 points out of the playoffs. Like, they're not that far down, and that's probably where Montreal ends up. But, like, it's amazing to say this 5 games into the year, but they are, what, 3 more losses in a row from almost having to write the year off. Because you start running the numbers, the math it would take to get to 95, 96 points It's not going to happen. They, you know, you got to run off 10 in a row just to barely get to 500. And when the team already has holes in it, now they're not as bad. Nobody's as bad as they're looking right now. Like their shooting is poor, power play's not worked. You know, a whole bunch of stuff is there. But I think where they've lost themselves is not in scoring goals. It's their ability to check. And they used to check well, and that queued up transition opportunities and time in the offensive zone. Now they're not getting those rush chances, and they don't play in the offensive zone. They play in their own zone the whole time. That's bad things are going to happen. Factor in the absences of the players that everyone knows are gone, including Joel Edmondson, who we wish him well. He's dealing with an ill parent, you know, a tough situation. So, they are not long to, they might not say it publicly, but acknowledging that this year is a write-off. Like they're not going to be able to compete for the playoffs, let alone the cup.
Johnny, if you had one thing or maybe two things, you just talked about checking. Is there anything that you could point to that this team could at least turn it around, but at least, you know, pick up off the ground? Whether it's, I saw, you know, Mike Kelly tweet about Josh Anderson's expected goals and, you know, that type of stuff. Is there anything you could point to and go,
okay,
I need this.
Well, go ahead. My glass half full noodles would be this, okay? Their current shooting percentage is 2. The league's worst last year was 8. So that's going to quadruple, right? Their power play's at 4. The league's worst last year was at 9. That's going to at least double. I did their expected goal share. Right now, their 5-on-5 goal share is 17%. It's laughably bad. Their expected goal share is 45. Not good, but still almost three times better than it is now. So, like, they're not getting the results they deserve, even currently. But what they need is they need to figure out who and how they're playing defense. Like, right. They went out and got David Savard, who's a right-shot, big, heavy defenseman. He needs help with someone moving the puck out of his own end. You know, he's strong and stout and, you know, he's won a cup and all the rest of it. But when you ask him to play top 4 and be a puck mover, he's not bad. And then Sherratt, you know, without Weber to partner with, not quite the same thing, right? Like,
sure.
I think they got to commit to get better puck movers. Somehow work on a system that allows them to move the puck more cohesively up the ice. Because it is chop suey right now and broken plays and bad passes and bad routes. And that goes on the forwards, not just the defensemen. That's where I start. I don't worry about scoring goals. Like, they have talented shooters. Like, they'll get chances once they get the puck back. They just got to focus on trying to get the puck back.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. All right, the alumni shuffle brings us back to your hometown in Toronto. And obviously starting your career here. You've got the alumni jacket. You've been in there. And the Leafs are dealing with a back-to-back this weekend. Hutchinson in net. And that'll be tonight, and then Jack Campbell going in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. We talked about Nick Ritchie and his role this weekend. My eyes are sharply on him because I think Matthews and Marner are going to be cooking. I think they're going to break out, Marner in particular, and Matthews will score. Ritchie, this feels like a perfect opportunity for him to just keep up, you know, tap in a couple of secondary assists. So after the weekend, if they each had 4 or 5 points and he's got 2 or 3, he can say I was along for the ride. What do you think is running through his mind? Considering he has not had a great start, yet he's playing with maybe the 2 best line mates he's had at any point in his career.
Just that. Exactly what you're saying, Hayes. Like, he's thinking, okay, we better come up with something. And in some ways, it's out of his hands because, like, if Marner and Matthews get going, he's going to have a good weekend. But if for some reason they don't, he's not going to look very good because he's not going to make them go. He's just along for the ride. He's just there to help them facilitate a little bit. But I think he would know if he's being honest with himself. Not only does he have to start picking up some points and becoming more involved, but even more than that, like, Matthews and Marner have to start picking up points. Not Matthews, he was amazing in this first game, but they got to start scoring. And if they don't, no matter what he does, he's going to lose the opportunity, which was a huge one to play with those two guys on the Toronto Maple Leafs on the first line and all that entails. And that's a lot of pressure. I mean, I don't know him at all. You know, some guys would relish that and be like, yes, love the pressure. Some guys would be like, oh my God, I hope this goes well. And I, quite frankly, probably would have been more the latter. Like, oh, this is nerve-wracking knowing that so much might be riding on it and you're going to try your hardest. But sometimes trying your hardest in the NHL doesn't necessarily equate to success. So I think any player, Hayes, you could relate to this more than even Noodles, because as a positional player, when you struggle, I always thought, and I've talked to a lot of guys about this, like, I always would go back, like, what am I good at? Like, what is it that I do better than anything else? And, like, for when I played, it's like, okay, I skated. Like, I could skate well. So when I was struggling, I'm like, okay, I just have to skate hard and fast. And once you start doing that, the other pieces start kind of falling into place. And for him, if it's like, okay, what do you do well? Are you supposed to be a forecheck guy? Okay, then, like, really focus in on how do I get in the forecheck? How do I get a hit? How do I turn a puck over? Once you do that a couple times, then the other stuff, getting in the front of the net, chances, passes, that will all kind of come with it. But pick the thing that you do best. Focus on that. And if you start doing that, all the other things will kind of fall into place.
Well, I think it's interesting how we have witnessed, and I think we maybe always knew it was coming, Matthews and Marner were going to take over as the focal point of this team and the kings of the county, so to speak, where meanwhile, John Tavares making $11 million, captain, the hysteria that came with him signing, and he is goalless through four games, which isn't a massive issue, but you would think that would be more of a topic of discussion, and it would have been a couple of years ago, but because Marner is not crushing it, and because Matthews just got back and we're waiting for him to break out, like, this really is an example of it, where I think Tavares is benefiting from the shadow of Matthews and Marner, because we're not really focused that much on the fact that he has not broken loose, and he hasn't looked great. First couple of games, he didn't look like himself. I thought he got better in night three, better in night four with the rest of them. But John Tavares can bring a lot more to the table, yet the primary focus is on 34 and 16.
And given the fact that JT got to play first-line center first couple of games, like first few games, when Matthews wasn't playing. So you're absolutely right. And we knew that transition would happen. Now, some people might have said, you know, the day Tavares arrived, he was already the second-best centerman on the team. And I think that was the case. But there was a kind of 1A, 1B. Now it's a 1 and a 2. And he's a 2 and a really, really good 2. I think everyone benefits from that. When the team struggles in Toronto, the spotlight will go to the best players, the highest-paid players, and what they're doing. And then you might avoid some of the criticism. Now, when the team does well, let's say you're doing well, you probably won't get quite the same degree of attention as the top players and the highest-paid players. You know, it kind of works both ways. We're probably not talking about that. And the fact that the team has gotten off to a, 100-point pace through four games, whatever that's worth. But, you know, they're not 0-4. They're 2-1-1, so it's not terrible as far as points on the board. But I will say this, and say what you want about expected goals. There is a weird model that calculates them. But I was reading today about John Tavares, and 2 years ago, per 60 minutes of ice time, Hayes, follow me here, right? Per 60 minutes of ice time, 2 years ago, he averaged 0.84 expected goals per 60. Last year, he was 0.85. This year, through four games, you want to guess what he is?
0.84. Yeah.
Exactly the same. So, you know, small samples, and we're driven by the score sheet as opposed to the process, because that's what happens in when you've only played three, four games. And I'm not saying he didn't play well, because he probably piled up those expected goal totals in the last couple games. But maybe he's not as far off from scoring and kind of, you know, if he had one goal and two assists in four games, like, yeah, he's kind of plugging along. He's probably closer to that than we might think. But listen, put all that aside, like, I think tonight is tailor-made for a big night for Toronto.
Yeah.
Because San Jose, tail end of a road trip, played last night, early start, Toronto sitting there rested, relatively healthy, had a few days of practice. San Jose's not a great defensive team. They got Aiden Hill in net. Maybe he has a good night. Maybe he doesn't. Like, it feels like the opportunity is there. Seven rookies in the lineup for San Jose. Like, if Toronto plays well, there should be plenty of offense to be had for everybody on the Maple Leafs.
That's kind of what I was thinking in watching that game last night. You know, San Jose's a team that, you know, is one of the youngest in the league. I know they've got kind of three guys on the back end that are grizzled vets and really good players. Like that Brent Burns at 36, he's a hell of a player. I'd take him on my team any day. Like, he's heavy and mean and got a shot and chews up a lot of minutes. Carlson kind of looks maybe 80%, 70% of what he used to look like in Ottawa, but he's still a really effective player, good player. But
well,
that being said,
you've seen him.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, you know,
to Gord last night in the interview. You're the expert.
But, you know, it's funny. But, you know, Johnny, like, you know, we watched this guy 3 years ago. Was it three, 4 years ago where arguably Carlson was top five player in the world.
Best player in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He could that playoff run when they went to a conference final, that was one of the best performances we've seen in the last 15 years in the playoffs.
Like
he could have won. He could have won the Conn Smythe when they lost in the semis, legitimately.
Yeah.
That's how great he was.
Yeah. He was spectacular.
So I mean, striking distance of that is still greatness. But that being said, they've got a lot of young guys. And I agree, this sets up for a night that if the Leafs actually – here's the one thing. I don't believe this is a trap game, but I think it needs to be hammer home to them. If you start on time, and what I mean is you come out and you have energy and you've got pace and you're taking it to them, that this could be a game where they, guys find the back of the net and it's a feel-good game for everyone type of thing.
They better have the right mentality, though, right, with Hutchinson in net. Like, that's the message where you're like, yo, we're worried about Pittsburgh tomorrow. We'll keep it for soup tomorrow on the road.
Or if we're worried about point night, which is never a great attitude to have heading into a game. But I'm with you, Noodles. I think that's the message. I think it gets delivered. And I think if they hear it, they're due to break out. They've been kind of goalied a couple games. They played well, and the other team's goalie kind of spilled in his head. Forsberg, Shesterkin. I don't know if that happens every time. And I don't know if that happens with Aiden Hill tonight if they play well.
Right.
They got to go out and do it, though. This team does have a tendency to play down to their competition. that is steeped in their history for sure.
Isn't San Jose undefeated?
Yeah,
they are. They're 3-0. And the other thing is San Jose's power play. Like, you can't mess around in this league, regardless of who. You may think, okay, this should be a tap, and you should be anything. All of a sudden, you get yourself in penalty trouble, and a team goes, 3-for-6, or something crazy. Like, that's how things happen very quickly, that you're chasing it. You've got Hutchinson, who is, to me, I think he's a perfect three, but he can give you NHL minutes, which is great. This is the reason why you pay the money to have him accessible. And, this sets up for them to have a good night, but you can't just think you're going to put your gear on and 2 points are going to be handed to you. Because San Jose, you guys know Bobby Bugner. He's a guy with a lot of pride. Do you call him a local area guy? I don't know.
He's a Windsor guy, really. I believe, isn't he,
but,
Bob? That counts.
Ontario guy,
Yeah, that counts. Like,
claim him.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll take claim.
But there's certain things that I was thinking about last night and watching that team play. Like, they've got some players there that can be dangerous if you sleep on them. And that's vice versa.
And haven't seen them in 2 years either, right?
Agreed.
Like, haven't seen them in a long time. And vice versa. Like, teams are coming up here and they're like, let's see what this Leaf team's all about. We heard all about it, running away with the Canadian division.
I would say this, though. Like, as far as taking them lightly, offensive players crave goals and points almost more than anything. And I mean, not team success, but that will drive them. And you got a whole bunch of offensive guys on Toronto who haven't piled up the points. So I think, trap game, worrying about Pitt, whatever. Like, I think the prospect of getting going statistically on the offensive side of the puck, that should be enough. And I think it will be enough to drive the best players because, if they were all cooking right now, 7 points, 6 points, four goals, whatever, then maybe you could talk about them, well, San Jose's not that good. They don't have any goals, their best players. Like, they need goals, and that will push them to be focused and energized and engaged in this game.
Should be a fun one tonight. Tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Enjoy it, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
There he is, Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. So the Leaf pregame's coming up on TSN 4, so we'll switch over to TSN 2 for the rest of the afternoon and, of course, stay here on TSN 1050. And you got the Leafs in action tonight. The Raptors are down in Boston looking to redeem themselves. That was ugly a couple of nights ago. They know it. They weren't happy about their performance. And a lot of history between these two teams, the Raptors and Celtics. So, and you're going to have great players that you're going to have to find a way to keep up with. Like, who's keeping up with Jason Tatum? Luka's here tomorrow night. Luka Doncic is in town tomorrow night. First time in a long time. In front of fans, and he's electric, man. That's a ticket you want. Who's going to be able to keep up? And as we know, the Bulls are here on Monday as well. So we've got an Instagram ticket giveaway we'll describe and explain a little bit later this afternoon. We still got our final clue of the week for Leaf tickets as well. So we're giving away a pair of Leaf tickets for next Saturday night when Detroit is in town. You got to tune in, hear the clue, and then wait for the cue to call. We'll do that at some point between now and 7 o'clock. Kevin Pillar coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Kevin Pillar is going to join us here in just a moment. And he's tweeting about packing. I guess he's either moving out or moving in. And he found a bunch of Pokemon cards, and he's wondering if there's any value to them. I will not be of any service to him on that front. I have no idea.
I never got into that. I didn't even understand what the hell was going on with that.
No, but it's lucrative, man. Like, there's more exclusive cards than others. And if you have the right ones and they're in mint condition, and there's a big market for it. So see what he's up to. And I just went upstairs. We're trying to teach my 2.5-year-old. Like, she's actually doing really well. Her language is exploding. And every time I go up there, she asks me, am I done? I'm like, no, I'm not done. You know, like, I'll be done in about an hour and a half. You know, I was just up here 20 minutes ago. I still have a couple hours. But she's developed this complete lack of ability to say, I love you, or to respond with love you. And it's starting to throw me off a little bit, because I always say it, like, on the way out. I'm like, she's like, hey, are you done? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm like, all right, I'll see you later. She's like, all right, see you later. I'm like, love you. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, she literally says, okay, and walks away. Right. I'm like, all right, okay. Well, whatever you want to float one back at me, at the big guy, you can feel free to do that. So
it is tough.
It's tough. It's a tough one-way street, love you, right?
Yes.
Love you. Okay. See you
and
later.
You get nothing back from your 2.5-year-old. My 4-year-old's kind of like that, except he gives it to me, love you, but he messes with Steph. Like, he'll like, turn away. Like
he won't give it to Steph.
He's 4, yeah. He tunes her up a little bit. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm on the wrong side of it in this house. My wife gets it. Yeah, I love you, too. Me, it's like, no, okay. See you
later.
Check
you later. Yeah.
Whatever works. Yeah, you let me know when you're around. All right, so Kevin Pillar was here for a pretty good ride in Toronto, obviously, man. Best ride of the last 25 years. And the Jays were knocking on the door this year, but he's jumped around the league. He was in San Fran. He was down in New York, and I guess he's always got bags packed, and he just tweeted out earlier this hour, unpacking boxes still, and found my old Pokemon cards. And he's wondering if anyone can refer him to someone that can appraise them. I guess there's real value in this stuff. And here he is, one of the best center fielders in Blue Jay history, and making his debut on Overdrive, Kevin Pillar. So you're a Pokemon guy.
Not really, to be honest with you. I was when I was a kid, but I know that they kind of made a resurgence, and people were collecting them, people were purchasing them. It's funny, I actually just got off the phone with Donaldson, who's a big card collector, and I was FaceTiming him. He actually happens to be in Toronto right now, and he was walking me through some of my cards that may have some value, some that are not any good, but just more curiosity. I mean, they're just sitting in a box. We just moved into a new house. I'm going through some boxes and knew I had them.
So after you posted that tweet 40 minutes ago asking people for help, the guy who decided to help you was Donaldson? Like, Josh Donaldson is your source for Pokemon card appraisal?
One of them.
All right.
I don't mind that.
I got a couple other people, but, I mean, Donaldson, he's got quite the collection. I'm not going to reveal the value he gave me, but it's a small fortune.
Okay, wow. Man. I've heard it's lucrative.
He knows what he's doing. I remember being in the clubhouse with him and him talking about buying and, you know, trading cars. And I was like, I thought that was something kids did. But apparently he was onto it before, you know, it became very popular again.
Is that one of the most unique, I guess, hobbies that one of your teammates has ever had? I mean, I know you hear guys like to stay busy with things away from the field, away from the rink. Pro athletes do that all the time. Is that one of the most unique hobbies you've come across?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting hobby, collecting sports cards. I guess he collects a little bit of the Pokemon stuff too, but he's mostly been into basketball and football cards. You know, Longoria is the same way. Longoria is a big trading card guy. He posts on his Instagram Live all the time, and you know, you buy like boxes of cards and they reveal them live. It's a big thing right now. I don't know much about it, but apparently these guys do well with it, so I thought I would kind of jump in.
Yeah, man. Well, a lot of that stuff's like going online, right? And I guess, yeah, you can buy, what are they called, NFTs?
NFTs, yeah.
NFTs. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm slowly learning about that. A teammate of mine, Trevor May, is very, he's big in the streaming world with video games and the NFTs and stuff like that. Taiwan Walker was big in the cryptos and Brandon Nimmo. So that's the cool thing I felt like that I've got to experience in, you know, the last 3-4 years of my career, you know, kind of bouncing from team to team as I've just gotten to meet so many different people. It's fun when the season's going on and I go to different cities. I usually have an ex-teammate or friend on every team we play against. So as much as I loved and, you know, still open and honest about staying, I would have loved to stay in Toronto my whole career, played there. It's been pretty cool to get to go other places and, you know, have different teammates and, you know, learn a lot about a lot of different things from different people.
With Kevin Pillar, well, that's it. I mean, this is all you knew, obviously, up here in Toronto when you made your debut in 2013. And you were all the way up. You were here all the way through, well, partially through the 19 season. Then you were in San Fran, Boston, Colorado, now with the Mets. And those teams that I referenced just prior to having you on, the 15 and 16 teams in particular that went to the back-to-back ALCS appearances, like the whole team just scattered. Like now we're into 2021. That feels like a lifetime ago. I mean, all you guys are scattered all over the league. A bunch of guys have retired. Are you surprised by that at all? I mean, you guys had such success. Even Alex Anthopoulos, the architect of the team, is down in Atlanta, and he's jumped around a little bit. Like, there's really no one left here in Toronto.
I think that was a big part of it as well. I think, you know, Alex leaving and, you know, Mark and Ross taking over, you know, it's something that I think you kind of learn on the fly. And now that I've been around it and seen it, and I'm probably going through it and experiencing it, was trying to tell guys this year with Steve Cohen taking over, buying the Mets, that you're going to see a lot of turnover. These guys, people at top kind of believe in bringing in their own people and their own guys and want to do it their way. It's not wrong. It's not right. It's just how they operate. And, you know, Mark and Ross obviously had a plan where slowly but surely they wanted to get rid of, you know, most of the guys that were there and start over and start fresh and start young. And, you know, what they've been able to do over the last couple of years has been, you know, exciting to watch from afar. And, obviously the future is really bright there. They were very close this year. I think people are starting to, you know, once again realize, you know, how great of a place it is to play there. You get people in the door and you get them to Toronto, which, you know, took parts of 2 years to get people back there to kind of experience what it's like playing in Toronto. And it probably took until the last series of the year to, you know, pack the stands again. But it's a one of a kind type of place to play. And I think, you know, what they're doing there is going to be something where they can have success over a long period of time.
I'm sure all your media recently has been about, you know, the pitch that hit you to the face. First and foremost, how are you and doing and all of that? But also, how much would your phone blown up after that, like when you know, people checking on you, all that type of stuff? I mean, maybe walk us through, you know, kind of the aftermath and how you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the morning, the next morning I woke up, probably a couple hundred text messages from, you know, friends since I was a little kid, high school friends, summer bowl teammates, big league teammates, minor league teammates, I mean, coaching staff that I've had, all the different places I've been. I mean, the outreach was unbelievable. Once again, it was a, you know, that was the nice thing about being very traveled is I've been able to make a lot of different friends in a lot of different places. And, you know, the outpouring was unbelievable. But yeah, I feel good. I do have another surgery set for early December out here in Scottsdale, just to, you know, correct some of the stuff that wasn't fixed in the immediate surgery. We kind of just pieced it back together so I can get out there and play as soon as possible. Now comes the actual, you know, cosmetic part and fixing the septum wall that was destroyed after getting hit. So besides that, I feel good, fortunate, and
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds gruesome, man. It looked gruesome. We talked a lot about it when it happened. We're chatting with Kevin Pillaro. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did you not come back and hit a home run in your first game back?
Not my first. I got a hit my first at-bat back.
Okay.
They told me, so once I had the surgery, the surgeon told me I could be cleared in 10 days to play. And I did everything possible to get myself ready in 10 days. On the ninth day, we were flying to Arizona, and they told me that they wanted me to still go through a couple different things, and came up with a compromise that I would be active on the 10th day. That same day, I just wouldn't start. I would come off the bench and kind of ease myself back into playing because I didn't do any rehab assignments or anything like that. And fortunately, we got up a lot in that first game back, and I went in and played defense for a couple innings, and I was able to come up in like the seventh or eighth inning, and I got to hit my first at bat, and I just didn't know how I was going to feel stepping into home plate again. You know, it's easy to say that I was going to be confident, that I was going to treat it like every other bat I had in my life, and you know, when I got up there, you know, Mets fans were great. They traveled to Arizona and, you know, got a standing O, and my heart was beating fast. And that was more, it took away from any fear that I might've had. It was just this excitement to be back in the box and kind of this nervous feeling of more excitement than actually being scared. And I got the hit and never thought about it again.
That's incredible because I remember us again tracking it closely, and when you were coming back, we talked about that. We were wondering ourselves from afar, playing amateur psychologists, like, what is his mentality going to be like? Like, that was traumatic when you took, you know, a fastball off the face, and it was gruesome, and the aftermath was what it was. You know, we were wondering, we're like, how is this guy possibly going to step in? And the way you just detailed it actually says a lot, I guess, about being a pro ball player, right? Like, they're throwing high 90s, man. Like, they're coming at you.
I had to remind myself of just how many at-bats I've had in my life, not just in the major leagues or professional ball, but, you know, dating back to when I started playing kid pitch, that I've been in that box a lot of times. I think in high school one time I got a glancing pitch off, like, the jaw a little bit or the chin on a rainy day where the ball kind of slipped out of someone's hand. It might have caught my shoulder first, and besides that, I've never, you know, it's never happened to me. So I just try to remind myself that it was one in 100,000 of at-bats I've had in my life, that it was something that happens very often, that I couldn't allow myself to think about if it was going to happen again or could it happen again. But I will say I started wearing the C-flap protector, and I think it's just a smart thing to do. I think most hitters should wear it.
We're chatting with Kevin Pillaro. We'll get you out of here on a prediction, I guess, in terms of the National League side of things. You've been in the National League now for a few years. When you're in San Fran, you're familiar with what the Dodgers are bringing to the table. And being in the NL East, you know what the Braves are all about. Dodgers down 3-2. They're heading back to Atlanta. How do you see this series playing out?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I haven't. The only game I've actually sat down and watched from start to end, aside from, like, leaving to put my kids to sleep, was the Game 5 Dodger-Giant game. Just obviously growing up in L.A., I was a Dodger fan. Mm-hmm. I got to play for the Giants. I still have a lot of friends on that team. Still kind of in awe of the type of season they had to be able to kind of go, you know, coast to coast and win that division where no one – I think they had probably less than a percent odds of winning that division at the start of the season. To be in a position where they're in Game 5 versus the Dodgers, that, you know, are the clear-cut favorites to win the World Series again, was something I had to sit down and watch. Usually the games are on my TV in my house as I'm playing with my kids, making dinner, doing all that stuff. I'm in tune with what's been going on. I just haven't really sat down and watched a game start to finish. But my prediction is I think the Braves figure out a way to get it done. I know the Dodgers, just the amount of talent that they have is, you know, really what separates them from a lot of other teams, and their depth with, you know, guys like Turner getting hurt and Muncy getting hurt and still being able to be, still roll out a lineup of all-stars. But I think the Braves, you know, just playing against them, I think they just have something special. I think Alex creates this environment that I think they're so close. I think it's the year they get it done.
Well, they're certainly in the driver's seat.
And I think
is Charlie Morton
starting that game too?
Yeah, he'll be pitching this weekend. Yeah, he'll be pitching this weekend.
I put my money on Charlie. That guy is filthy.
Yes. Yeah.
He's one of the guys where I'm like, if I'm not in the lineup that day, I'm like, I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting the coach to get in the lineup that day. I'm like, okay.
You got your reasons.
I'm not going to find out what they are, but I'm okay with it. If I'm in there, I'm going to try my best. But if I'm not, I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll get the next guy.
Yep, I think he might get the ball for 7, so there you go. Yeah, and if that's the case, so be it, man. We'll see, and I'm looking forward to seeing that play out, and we'll take that to heart. It's always great catching up with you, Kevin. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, man, and good luck with the Pokemon cards, and we'll do this again down the road.
Thank you.
Kevin Pillar, former Blue Jay, now with the New York Mets. One of the most gruesome, you know, hit-by-a-pitch plays of the last decade, man. Like, it was...
Yeah. How about him detailing it? He's detailing it to us, and then he's like, other than that, it's fine.
Like, I know. I started laughing. I think he was just being serious, too. I was like, wow, man. That's,
I know.
Like, he's a gamer, clearly.
I know. Like, I started laughing, too. I think he thought, like, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I'm like, other than that, like, we'd all be, you know, not playing 10 days later. This guy's an animal. I love it, and I respect it so much. You know.
So do I. Yeah, when you see what other guys throughout sports are like, I don't know if I'm going to go. This guy easily could have been done for the season, and it would have been understandable.
Easily. Yeah.
Easily. If you said this guy's not playing again this year, you'd be like, I understand that. Look at the surgeries he's got to go through. They have to basically put his face back together.
Yeah.
And he was out there with two black eyes, the broken nose, the fractures, and gets a hit in his first at bat. That's awesome, man.
Impressive. Yeah.
Shout out to Kevin Pillar. Appreciate him joining us. We'll get into the Raptors, and they've got a double shot this weekend as well. They're in Boston tonight. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. And then tomorrow night, Dallas in town, Luka Doncic in town. So we'll look ahead to that, among other storylines throughout the NBA. Pierre LeBrun still to come as well. The Leafs are in action tonight and tomorrow. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Bobby Marks will join us, ESPN NBA front office insider, in about 10 minutes. Pierre LeBrun still to come as well. We've got a Raptors Instagram giveaway. We'll tell you about that. And we're giving away a pair of Maple Leaf tickets as well. We have a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on the Red Wings Saturday, October 30th. And every day this week, we have been providing clues to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Today, you have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Your final clue: this former Maple Leaf has an older brother named Jeff, who also played in the NHL. Jeff, spelled Geoff, G-E-O-F-F. So I think
I know who it is.
I know who it is, too. I think people have figured this out. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. Name that Leaf. You're going to see the Leafs take on the Detroit Red Wings.
Ooh.
Yes.
All right.
Not bad. Saturday night, original six. I like it.
And it would be minus Tyler Bertuzzi, because he's 9 games. He's not going to play in Canada this year, correct?
Not crossing the border.
Yeah,
yep. He's off to a really good start, too, man.
He's a good player. He's
really
a really good
start.
Player.
Yeah. Feisty,
That's
right?
the thing. He's got bite. He's got skill. Not shy to drop the gloves. He's a throwback.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, I think Detroit likes him. They, you know, he's a piece that they build around. Not, you know,
not a main core piece, but
he's a guy that they have a part moving forward. Like he's,
right. You look at the Leafs and what they did when it all came to a point where they thought they could be competitive. Kadri was still here. Bozak was still here. Van Riemsdyk was still here. Right. Like, there were Komarov was still here. There were still a fusion of the young guys who were here and ready to contribute and the veteran players. And I'm with you on that. Yeah. Larkin's one of those guys. Bertuzzi should be one of those guys.
Agreed.
But I just wonder about the vaccination stuff and whether or not it's only this season. Will it continue in the future? I don't know. I mean, is he never going to play in Canada again? I can't see that.
No,
but if he makes the decision not to do it, I guess it's possible. Like, it's conceivable he never plays a game in Canada ever again.
Yeah, if the rules stay that.
If they stay the same.
I agree, but I'm hoping that life changes and different things come out.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
You know, obviously.
Well, speaking of, like, you got Brooklyn against Philly tonight. So Kyrie Irving versus Ben Simmons. both point guards who will not be available for different reasons, but right. That's the battle that's going on in the NBA tonight.
It's crazy.
So we'll get to that and more coming up in the next hour. Bobby Marks of ESPN, Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, and a Raptors Instagram giveaway that we'll tell you about. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.